Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hey, what a happy new year to you guys, and happy new year to the roasters out there. I just wanted to ask you guys both a quick question, man. When do we start looking at Kerr? I know that the players are getting old, and we're blaming all of this on Father Time. But when are we going to start looking at the coaching, man? I don't think this guy can develop much. The first 15 games, he was all bragging about a 12-man rotation. The last 15 games, what has that gotten him? And when he said that, I'm sure I wasn't the only one that was like, what is this dude talking about? I just think he doesn't make decisions. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think he's an aw shucks. Where's the coaching at? When do we start looking at Kerr?
Well, you need talent, right? And I think we've all looked at Steve Kerr and some of the lineup combinations, and he's trying to find the right lineup combination. I think the rotation, though, Spadoni, has been shortened. They've been going nine deep. Now, part of that is Brendan Podziemski's out with the abdominal strain. But Kyle Anderson the other night did not play. Against Phoenix, he did not play. Kevon Looney did not play against Phoenix. Okay? Moses Moody was out with an injury. Gary Payton, second, out with an injury. He went nine deep. Now, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, it became a blowout. But literally, they were going about eight deep. Kuminga, Hield, Moody, and then Lindy Waters played about 14 minutes and 28 seconds. So I do think Steve Kerr is shortening the rotation. But what is the tweak that will help the team win games? Is it putting the ball in Jonathan Kuminga's hands more? Is it putting it in Andrew Wiggins' hands more? What is the tweak, Spadoni? What can Steve Kerr do to help improve the team?
That's why, like, and we love Oreo Cookie, but the callers that call in and say, oh, it's the coaching. Listen, it's a combination of things. Sure, the head coach is going to be, like, that's the easy one always, is blaming the head coach. We do it with Kyle Shanahan constantly. Trust it. Like, we do it all the time. But if Phil Jackson's coaching this team right now, what are they? 20 and 12? Like, I don't, like, come on. I don't know. I don't think that it's just some, you know, X's and O's thing right now at this team. I think the depth was going well early on.
Mm-hmm.
Now those players aren't playing as well. Buddy right. Hield just isn't making, he's one of eight last game.
Right.
He's just not shooting the ball well. And that was a big factor and reason why you were winning on earlier in the season. Is it Steve Kerr's fault that he can't hit water if you fell out of a boat? It's not his fault.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. When you're relying on guys, too, like a Dennis Schroeder, who's in your starting lineup, who you just acquired mm-hmm. and who is struggling to try to, apply himself into the system, if right. you will, that's another thing you have to worry about. Like, and it's, is that Steve Kerr's fault that Dennis Schroeder, the acquisition, hasn't, you know, he hasn't done what you came in here to do? It's early.
And let's be real, Spadoni, Dennis Schroeder's not, he's not accustomed to playing his style.
No.
He wants the ball.
He said that.
Yeah, the ball sticks in his hands. He wants to run pick and roll and get deep into the paint. And right now, the Warriors like to play .5 basketball, and he's struggling with that right now, Spadoni.
Well, and to your point, and he mentioned that, and I did like what he had to say last week. He was like, listen, it's an adjustment, but I'll get there. Yep. It was an adjustment when I had to play with LeBron James, too, with mm-hmm. the Lakers. It took me a long time to figure out how to play with these superstar players. It's just not as easy as play. Like, it's not. Like, you have to make sure they get their touches. You got to be in the right spot. You got to, there's a lot baked into it. And yeah, he's a ball handler. And that's what he's used to doing. He's not used to moving without the ball as much. Nope. And it's something that's going to be an adjustment period for him. But again, is this adjustment period now getting to the inflection points? Like, okay, Dennis, like, let's move it up here.
And
so I get it. I get it.
He mentioned it Saturday, though, after the win against Phoenix. He goes, man, it's been tough. Maybe it was against Phoenix. Maybe it was earlier in the week. But he basically said, look, my family's not here. It's the holidays. Yes. I've had to move. It's kind of weighing on him a little bit there. And I get all that. And he said also that it's a challenge to play next to Steph and Draymond because of their rapport.
Yes.
And you have to play a certain way with Draymond Green. If he's going to be handling the ball at the point forward spot, he's going to be at the top of the key, operating that real estate. You got to do different things playing off the ball. So to your point, Spadoni, yeah, he's not accustomed to doing that right now. And he's struggling to fit in offensively with the Golden State Warriors. You brought up Buddy Hill. It got out to the hot start. In the month of December, Buddy Hill.
Oh, no.
Shooting 36% from the floor. Shooting 30% from the three-point line. Averaging 8.5 points per game in the month of December. Now, that's in 13 games. And right now, he looks like he's pressing. He looks a bit lost. And you heard the soundbite from Draymond Green against Phoenix, where he said, wake your ass up! If not, sit down!
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing. And Draymond Green mentioned that after the game. Well, Buddy's in... Is this just who Buddy is? Is this the guy that we've all kind of watched throughout his NBA career? Or is he more the guy that we saw in October and November?
Well, right now, you're hoping he's a streaky player because that means he's going to come out of this, right? You're hoping he's a streaky player because if he's not, then this is going to be a tough watch the rest of the season because you relied so heavily on him early on the season, being your second best free three-point shooter. And if your best three-point shooter, if the best three-point shooter in the history of the game is struggling on top of that, then yeah, it's going to be noticeable. And that's why I don't fault people and players like Jonathan Kuminga who are trying to manufacture something right. Always. Like, listen, Kuminga's shot wasn't falling last week against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. He was 4-15. But you know what? You know what I loved seeing in that box score? I'm looking at it right now. 14 free throw attempts.
Yep.
God, that is so refreshing for a Warriors team. Mm-hmm. The last time a Warrior player had 14 free throw attempts.
Think about this.
It probably was Jonathan Kuminga. Hey,
well, think about his last three games, Spadone. Jonathan Kuminga's last three games from the free throw line, starting with the Clippers. Actually, I'll go back to his last five, starting with the Indiana loss. Warriors are 1-4 since starting his home center. Remember they had 8-9 at Chase Center?
Mm-hmm.
The one lone road game was down in L.A. into a dome. And they've basically lost 3-4 home games.
Man.
But J.K., 6-9 from the free throw line against Indiana. Christmas Day against the Lakers, 6-8 from the free throw line. Friday night against the Clippers, 11-14 from the free throw line. Against the Phoenix Suns, Saturday night, 8-12. And then against the Cleveland Cavaliers, 10-14 from the free throw line. So J.K.'s doing what he's got to do. And let's not act surprised that J.K. is doing this. He did this last season.
Mm-hmm.
He did it at times the season before that. So I'm not surprised that J.K. is showing his abilities here. But you're right, Spadone. He's getting to the free throw line. He's grabbing more rebounds. Through the last five games, those last three games, 10, 9, and 10. That's his rebounding numbers. So he's doing everything that everybody's asked of him right now. So J.K., in my list of issues for the Golden State Warriors, J.K.'s not one of them.
No, one of them right now for me, and maybe issue is too strong, but I'm seeing a little bit more inconsistency, and at least this is the offensive end, so I'm not going to paint it with a wide brush, but Andrew Wiggins, just the inconsistency on the offensive end is a little concerning. I know what I'm getting defensively, and I'm not trying to poo-poo that, because he is almost always guarding the other team's best player at times, and that takes a lot out of you, but at the same time, they're in a position where they need a lot more from him offensively every single night. Because Steph he's not going to have it every single. That's not baked into the equation anymore. Draymond Green, he might have a game with double-digit points, but for the most part, he's not giving you that. You're not getting that help off the bench from Buddy Hield anymore. Dennis Schroeder, he's not getting those double-digit points. So, Andrew, you're going to be there every single day, and I can rely on you for health and on the defensive end, but I need that to pick up a little bit more going forward here. He just hasn't been able to score right now.
He's
just not like being aggressive. Like that's another thing with Andrew. And Steve Kerr's talked about that in the past. Just got to feature him early on in the game and get his touches. And maybe that's another thing that Dennis Schroeder's learning early on, having the ball in his hands. Hey, maybe I need to feed Wiggins a little bit more, get him more involved early on in the game. So
10 of 32 from the floor, Andrew Wiggins, the last three. 3 of 14 from the three-point line over the last three. And you talk about aggressiveness. When I see Andrew Wiggins being aggressive, I see 20 field goal attempts, 16 field goal attempts. Last three games, 11, 12, and 9. So it's got to be a little more aggressive. Just 15 points per game in the month of December. You need Wiggins to be around 17, 18, as well as JK's play. If Steph Curry is going to be down around 22, 23. Let's go to Rob and San Bruno real quick before the break. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and Nation One San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. What up, Rob?
Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, look, man, we just got to come to a realization. You all know Steph ain't, he's still that guy, but he's not that guy no more that's going to go against these younger guards. You know, the NBA is a guard league now. And your best player, Steph Curry, he's a guard, but he's an older guard. So when he go against them young guards, you know, he got the foot speed to defend them, and then the same injury to run around all them screens and drop 30 a night. He's just getting older. Look, man, this is the Kuminga team right now, all right? The motion offense don't really work without Klay Thompson. It's with Klay Thompson, it's deadly. You can win games with it. Without Klay Thompson or just Steph or just Klay, it don't work as well because you don't have that other three-point threat out there. So then you got Draymond running the four. He's not going to consistently get you 10 points a night, so you ain't got to guard him. You got guards at three. He's not really going to drive to. He's just a player out there because Steph Curry out there. He's a player out there because he knows the system. Mm-hmm. It's time for Kerr to scratch the system, okay? I mean, you got to get rid of Draymond. That's the call. I'm Wiggins. He shouldn't get more touches than Wiggins or Kuminga. Draymond needs to come off the bench. He did come off the bench. I think Kerr made the right decision, but you have folks, oh, Draymond needs to come on for nostalgic points. Look, he's not that guy no more. All right, teams don't respect his shot, his ability to score. He's just a guy with the ball, and he's not a threat. So it's 4-on-5 every time. This is Kuminga's team now. Curry needs to work around him. Curry can still dribble, shoot, and do his thing, but he needs to work around Kuminga. And Draymond needs to get off the floor. Let Wiggins and Kuminga handle the ball, because at the end of the day, this is an athlete. You got to be an athlete up and down the court, just air. And Draymond's just not that.
Robin San Bruno, everybody. 888-957-9570. Is that the move the Warriors need to make? Is that the move the Warriors need to make right now? What move would you like to see them make? How can they tweak this? They're 60-16 right now after a 12-3 start. They're at 500, and they're flirting with being under 500 against the Sixers tonight, who are coming in. They had a catastrophic loss last night. Kings scored the last 15 points of the game. I couldn't believe it. I'm watching it. It's like, wow, I'm going back and forth, oscillating between Kyle Draper and Kate Scott, who's on the call tonight for Philadelphia. And I'm thinking to myself, damn.
Love Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Eagles, they scare me. They scare me as a legit Super Bowl contender. I can't stand that fan base.
They actually have a defense, so yeah. Unlike the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I can't stand that. I hate that fan base with a passion. Real quick, before the break. Not a Kings tale, but I'm walking out. It was either the Phoenix game or the Indian. I forget which home game it was. Over the last week, I'm walking to my car. And a van pulls up, just drives right by me, almost like they were waiting for me.
Oh.
Slows up.
Sounds scary.
Yeah, it does sound scary. Rolls up, slows down.
Kidnapper's tail?
Yeah, no. Slowed up. Roll the window down and go, hey, go Birds. And I go, F the Birds. And there's all these fans waiting for autographs and stuff like that. He goes, go F you, Bonte, you suck. And I'm like, man, screw the Birds. I swear to God, it happened last week. I was like, Eagle fans are now coming out of the woodwork, talking that talk.
They're chirping.
They're chirping. Okay. They're chirping hard.
We'll see. Like they squandered a huge opportunity against the Washington Commanders a couple weeks ago where they could have had the number one overall seed. Mm-hmm. And going through Philadelphia, I would have thought they would have been a shoe-in to make it to the Super Bowl. Now, I still think I have them slightly above the Lions, and I think they're right there at the Vikings. So yeah, that's going to be interesting. But I trust Jalen right now a little bit more than I trust Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's going to show me. But that's a conversation for another time.
All right, more on the Warriors. 888-957-9570. What to do about the Golden State Warriors? Where are you at with the Dubs right now, 16-16? And then also, what is your New Year's resolution with your sports teams? 2025 is here. Each team, the Sharks, the Giants, the Niners, the Warriors. What is your New Year's resolution for each team? Let's do that on the other side. 888-957-9570. What is your New Year's resolution for each of your teams here in the Bay Area? We'll do that on the other side, brought to you by Safeway.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time.
All right, Kate, I'll see you later tonight at Chase Center. I'll make sure to pull your Bay Area car from you. Say, you don't need that no more. You're all about the 215 in Philadelphia.
Is she a Penn Stater right now, too? Oh, she can add that to
I don't think Philadelphia likes Penn State because on the west side of Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, see ya.
So far, Happy Valley away from. It's like Philadelphia and the rest of PA.
Okay.
It's the rest of Pennsylvania, and then there's just Philadelphia.
Gotcha. Steiny also kind of says that, too. Anything western Pennsylvania is like the countryside. Right. They don't acknowledge it.
They're closer to Ohio. I don't know if you've been watching the Hard Knocks on the AFC North.
I have not.
It's fascinating, but they show. You know, they take the bus ride, Cleveland and Pittsburgh. They take the bus to each other's, She's other city there, Turnpike or whatnot, 2 hour drive.
Yeah, you don't need right to take
there,
a flight.
It's close
yeah.
to Ohio. Don't need to take a flight. If I know Philadelphia did that, going out of Baltimore, they just took the train. Took the train down to Baltimore, old school.
I did watch, like, you know how like you're on Instagram, they have yeah. reels, or YouTube, we have the shorts. So like I did stumble upon one where it's just like an NFL player, like what they do after a game, right? And to get on and just get through a flight and stuff like that. A lot more taxing than I actually yeah. thought when it comes to going through the TSA. Now it's a little more expedited,
right?
But there is a lot when you're a big, like 6'8", like 300-pound offensive lineman. And I am jealous of the little lunch boxes they get. Though.
Yeah, the little lunch boxes. It's great. Like that little lunch.
Do you get that anytime, Bonte? Huh?
No, I don't
NBC Sports. They got a little lunch boxes
no,
for all
don't.
You guys.
No, I don't get to travel. The only place I get to travel to is Jay Sitter.
Oh, that's a good spot though. I mean, they got a lot of good food options over at Jay Sitter.
Hey, you have dumpling time. You have God. At yeah. JP Morgan Club, fresh sushi. Had some sliders last week. That was really, really good. Food aside, Chase Center is.
I have been to Dumpling Time. It is yeah, good. It is a good really time. Good.
It is a good time. Tony's Pizza inside. You got Sam's Chatter. You got a lot going on at Chase. K Fico's out there now. You got a lot going on at Chase Center. You got no shortage of food options there. But look, we're back. Happy New Year, everybody out there. Download the Odyssey app in case you forgot. 2025. It's time you get on the app. 95.7 The Game, thousands of other stations, and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts like Garlic Fries, Baseball Guys are all available. And follow your favorite teams like the Niners and Warriors, stations and radio shows like Starry Goo or The Morning Roast, of course. Catch amazing interviews you missed, too, like with Steve Kerr joins Willard and Dibbs every single week. Now, Anthony Slater is going to join us at 8:30 to discuss the state of the Dubs.
Slates.
Cam Inman. 49ers insider for the Bay Area News Group will join us at 9:20. Talk about the state of the Niners heading to their last game of the regular season against the Arizona Cardinals. And don't forget, all guests on 95.7 Game appear on the River Islands guest line. But isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? I need to make another trip out there because I have my folks out there in River Islands. But when it comes to New Year's resolution, we got the Warriors, we have the Niners, we had the Giants, we had the Sharks, we had the Earthquakes, we had Bay FC. Got Cal, got Stafford. We can go wherever you want to go with this. But I'm taking championships off the board because we all want championships. We all want MVPs. We all want championships. That's an obvious one. But what is a more attainable resolution? Like, for example, if I'm looking at the 49ers, my New Year's resolution, it would be to give me a ball hockey free safety and then improve the trenches. Those are my resolutions. I want better line play, and I want a ball hawking safety. That's just one example. With the Warriors, I would love size and athleticism. Would love that. With the Giants, man, be nice to get a home run hitter in the middle of that lineup. Those are just some of the resolutions I have. What are some of the resolutions you have?
No, it's a good point because you don't go into like, and I'm not a big New Year's resolution. Like you can start it whenever. It doesn't have to be January 1. I get it. Right. It's a clean slate for a lot of people, so they try to do positive visualization and all that sort of stuff. Like, that's fine. But for me, I'm not going in next season if I'm, let's say, a lot of people are working out, right? Like right now, a lot of people are probably at the gym. They're watching us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube.
Gyms are packed.
They're packed right now. It's not going to be like that in a couple weeks. Why? Because they don't have whatever it is, that next step to really, you know, want to be that next person, that better person. And, you know, I think of if I'm working out, I'm not going to have a six pack in 3 weeks. That's just not how it's going to happen. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe by the end of the year,
the dream.
We can all dream. Maybe by the end of the year, I could have the semblance of something.
Maybe I have maybe. One pack. Maybe a two
there
pack.
There you go. Yeah. But if I'm looking at it for my sports teams, I'm not expecting like a championship all the time. I'm not expecting a championship. That's great. That's easy. But if I'm the Warriors, first and foremost, size, and I want to know what the direction of this team is. Like, I want a clear, solid direction at the end of this season.
Direction and identity, right?
Correct.
What would the identity be for the Warriors right now?
I don't know. Seriously, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then that's a problem.
Yep.
Like, I know what it is for the Boston Celtics. I know what it is for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. I know what it is for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know what their identities are. I don't know what it is for the Golden State Warriors. And for the San Francisco Giants, just show me. Like, at this point, like, it's been a lot of talk from this team and from whether it's Farhan, whether it's, I want Buster Posey now to imprint his will on this team. I want to see this team be like what Buster Posey was for the San Francisco Giants.
Yep.
Respectable. That's a guy that you can respect, an organization that you can respect. And the Willie Adames signing was great. Corbin Burns missing out on him.
Oh,
that's tough.
Oh.
I know Shasky thought it was a lock. The more I looked into his background, though, maybe Arizona should have been the favorites all along.
He lives in Scottsdale.
He lives in Scottsdale. His family lives there.
Right. And he's from Bakersfield. He's from Bakersfield. Here's the thing that got me, because I thought it was a lock, too, actually. I thought Kirby Burns, it sounded good. And you're hearing conflicting reports about whether or not it was the money or the years or the opt-out, whatever it is. But the more I found out that Scott Boras was his agent, the more I felt like, oh, this may not happen.
Right.
Scott Boras is involved. Corbin Burns ain't signing right now. He's not going to get pressured to put the pen on the paper just because the Giants fans want him. And so, yeah, you're right. Looking at that, Scottsdale, he's right there at home. They have a good staff already. Zach Gallen's pretty damn good. Who's my other guy? Merrill Kelly. They have a good lineup.
They still have Jordan Montgomery, right? Yeah, he had a bad year, but he didn't have the strength of training. Yeah. There's a lot built into that.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine.
So all of a sudden, you're still the fourth team, it feels like, in the NL West, which is tough, but you know what? It's not over. Hot stove. Turn it back on. Turn off that gas burner, electric, whatever the hell you got. We'll see. But it's similar to what the Warriors are, the identity, right, of the Giants. Mm-hmm. They do have more, I feel like, if you could build around, you know, Logan Webb is your number one,
right,
which is a fine number one still. It sucks that you lost on Blake Snell. Robbie Ray's a guy won a Cy Young.
Yep.
All right, and he did show me enough, I felt like, last year to be excited. Now, it's kind of like that old thing, like, oh, it's great. He's going to be really good this year, and then is he going to leave us again? Well, if he's really going really great and everything's really good, maybe you do try to get that contract during the season, right? So that's what I'm looking for with Buster Posey. Can you make some more moves, and can this team kind of be under his shadow? And because for the longest time, when I watched the Giants, all you saw was Farhan.
Just,
you couldn't get that image out of your head, and that's why it was hard for fans to even go to the stadium.
Well, I saw this over the weekend, that the Giants have the worst farm system in baseball.
That was tough.
And now I don't get caught up in ratings. I don't get caught up in the rankings of farm systems, because how do we know? But the whole time Farhan was supposed to be, oh man, the farm's going to be such in a better place. It's going to be so much in a better place with Farhan's ID. And you look at the rankings going into 2025, and they have the worst farm according to Bleacher Report, farm system rankings. And a lot of those rankings are in the 20s. And I'm thinking to myself, damn. What did Farhan do? But if I had a resolution, it'd be to see Bryce Eldridge, that everybody's hyped up, and I'm eager to see. I want Bryce Eldridge to play at least 120 games with the Giants, just to see what it is. And I don't care if he goes through a month-long slump where he bats 0-51. I want Bryce Eldridge to play at least 100. If I had a resolution for the Giants, that would be it. Bryce Eldridge, pencil him in for 120 games to see what I got. No, yo-yoing like Marco Luciano or Elliot Ramos or who's my other guy, center field. I already forgot his name because he doesn't play much.
Exactly.
Luis Matos. Luis Matos. Give me 120 games of Bryce Eldridge. That is my resolution. I want to see it.
Bryce Eldridge. Like, again, I
want to see it.
We get so involved in these prospects just thinking they're going to hit, and it's just baseball is so hard to predict. Like, so we did this with Kyle Harrison. And he's fine. Kyle Harrison's fine. He wasn't what everyone thought he was going to be, at least at this point. Everyone thought he was going to be a phenom, number one, best pitcher in baseball. Like, he's not Paul Skeens.
No.
And that's kind of what Giants fans kept telling me he was going to be, was Paul Skeens. I saw Paul Skeens and Kyle Harrison last year.
It was a night and day difference.
Not even close. Sorry. So Bryce Eldridge, he at least looks the part. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful. Let's see how that translates. I'll wait and see on that one. You can be I don't like telling fans not to get excited.
Right.
Just cautiously optimistic is what I would always just urge people to do as fans. Cautiously optimistic. And real quick, going back to your Corbin Burns thing and, you know, why he chose Arizona, and he's not from there, but he lives there. He got his family there. Are you noticing this trend more and more? And maybe it's the millennial generation that, I think players from our generation, Vontae, because we're both millennials, we're on the opposite ends of them, they're more willing to, you know, accept a situation. Maybe they're not the best team and it's not the, you know, a championship team, but what's best for their family.
Yeah.
I feel like we're seeing that more and more, and that mindset of championship or biggest bag, it might not be there, and it's what's best for my family. I just feel like we're getting to a place now where winning might not be the only thing for these guys. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I feel like I'm sensing that trend more and more.
Well, you look at Arizona last year, right? or 2 years ago, they advanced to the World Series. They advanced to the World Series by winning 84 games.
No one saw that.
Nobody saw that coming, but they advanced to the World Series. Last season, Arizona Diamondbacks won 89 games. They finished 9 back of the Dodgers, but just 4 back of the Padres. So they're right there. They have a great young player in Corbin Carroll, who got going in the latter half of the season. First 3-4 months was awful. But Corbin Carroll's a player. Suarez is a player. Gurriel Jr. can play. This guy's they've got a roster here. Jock Peterson, he's not there anymore. Christian Walker signs with the Houston Astros. But Marte Parte.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a good player. So when you get to Scottsdale and you're right there, it's Phoenix, the weather's great, you're playing in a dome, you got the retractable roof. If you're a golfer, it's great to golf out there. Yeah. You're in the West. You're not too far from L.A., Bakersfield, where your roots are. Your family's out in Arizona. I still think this is a winning situation in Arizona.
It is.
It is. And they love their baseball down there. So, but I don't know if player like, I see some players sign with the Astros, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe the championship pedigree is still there, the championship pixie dust with the Houston Astros. But I do think players are saying, you know what? I know I'm going to get money wherever I go. I know I'm going to get money. But what's to your point, the family, the situations, it matters. And can I potentially win here? And now Corbin Burns, he protected himself. What does he have, an opt-out after 2 years?
Something like that.
So he can get out of that. If things are not going well for the Diamondbacks, he can get out of that and get himself a new contract. You know? So Arizona's a destination that we all kind of scoff at and say, you don't really want to win.
Correct. But after the first 2 years, he has an opt-out.
Right, he has an opt-out. So he can opt out after 2 years if he doesn't like the situation or if they're not winning or being competitive in the National League West and the National League. But you look at Arizona, the way they develop talent and the way guys go there, they do have a chance to win in Arizona now. They do. I think that is a winning culture in Arizona. But to your point, being comfortable with your family and in the spot to where, you know, you're not going to get a lot of limelight because the media is not going to cover the Diamondbacks like they are the Dodgers or the Padres. So it is a good landing spot to just kind of fly under the radar, do your thing. Phoenix is a relaxed market.
I was going to say, even in Arizona, they're like the third team, right? Like you got the Suns and you got the Cardinals. Like, even though the Diamondbacks are the only ones to win anything there, but
no doubt. So I to your point, I do think people want to win. And they want to go to a situation to where they think they can win something. But is it all about winning?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Fair enough. And you know, listen, we're doing our New Year's resolutions. What are some of your New Year's resolutions for your sports teams, your favorite teams? 888-957-9570. They got to be attainable, too. We're not doing the, you know, oh, the championship. No. Let's just do something concrete. We're saying identity. You know, Bonte wants to see Bryce Elder with the Giants. And, you know, I want to see some more, you know, just fun players on the Giants. I think that's where you're kind of tiptoeing around here.
Right.
Can I get some more like zest? Like Elliot Ramos, great player. Great player. Was I like wowed by him a lot?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I think if I get more players like that up and down the lineup, I might be more wowed. Yeah. Like, okay, wow, now we got some legit depth here and I could be excited. Would a guy like, you know, Pete Alonso, the polar bear, who's still out there,
Would
love him.
I know Eldridge is going to play
already.
First base.
We've already all said it.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
But you know what? I have no problem signing Pete because I got a DH and a first baseman.
Correct.
One day is Bryce Eldridge, one day is Pete Alonso. I don't really get caught up in this guy wants to play in the field. I just want to get some ballers in the lineup.
Yes.
You got to have some threats to help your pitching staff out. Guys are pitching in 1-1 games and pitching in high-stress situations. That's so you know you fall behind and you don't believe in your lineup to get you back into a game. I will not mind Pete Alonso. You missed out on Corbin Burns. What's the pivot here for Buster Posey? So what's your resolution when it comes to the Giants? What's your resolution when it comes to the Warriors, the Niners, Bay? See, somebody said San Jose State. San Jose State lost a tough bowl game. The Hawaii Bowl.
We were all watching on Christmas Eve, too.
Oh, the Hawaii Bowl.
Locked in.
I had South Florida in that one in my little college bowl pick-up, but that overtime was wild. 5 overtimes?
I know a lot of people that had the over, and they were, like, so rooting for overtime
My gosh.
They got it, and then eventually, obviously, it wound up being, like, 70, whatever it was.
Right.
But it was a crazy game. Sparty up, baby. Sparty down right
Sparty,
now.
Sparty, Sparty. What's the resolution for San Jose State? Callan Stafford, for crying out loud. 888-957-9570. If it's the Warriors,
ooh.
Spadoni, what's your resolution for the Warriors? I love it. You get in on this. Get in on this too.
Well, I would like to see again. Who's going to be the guy I'm building around after this season? That's going to be the question for me. Are we still building around Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and that final ember, if you will, that's flickering in that fireplace that was the Golden State Warriors dynasty? Or am I going to be looking at the young guy and Jonathan Kaminga? And I feel like we've been tiptoeing around this conversation for so damn long, but if they're another one and done, or they fail to make the play-in, or they lose in the first round, I think there's going to be a very, very hard look at this team if you're Mike Dunleavy and if you're Joe Lacob and saying, what do I have here? And
so maybe the resolution is finding an identity.
The identity, exactly. The identity. And
the identity still be Steph and Dre?
I think can we take these two timelines and just finally condense them down to one? Like, I feel like that's the resolution I have for the Warriors in terms of just pick a direction and go with it.
Are we seeing that right now? Are we seeing that come to fruition, Sam and Bonte? Just Jonathan Kuminga playing all these minutes. He's finally become a focal point on this team, albeit off the bench. And we're seeing Stephen Curry, the struggles there. Aren't we finally seeing these two timeline things come to head? A lot like, have you ever played with the Hot Wheels?
Oh, yeah.
When the two tracks come together, yep. And you got the little fast thing in the middle that shoots them both?
Is it that, or are they just trying to showcase Kuminga so they can trade him in a couple months? So or do we think we're going one timeline, then they do the old switcheroo, where actually, no, it's the Steph Curry timeline?
It's a very good question. And I have no idea what Mike Dunleavy is going to do with this roster with the trade deadline coming up. The trade deadline's coming up in just over a month. What is it, February 6th, I want to say?
I think so.
February 6th is the date. Maybe it is a showcase for Jonathan Kuminga. But how will fans feel if they actually do trade Jonathan Kuminga?
February 6th at 12 o'clock Pacific time.
Mm. Big day around here.
Huge.
Huge day. Because they could still flip Schroeder if they want. They could flip Buddy Hill. Who knows what Mike Dunleavy's thinking right now? Because you know the owner, Joe Lacob, wants to win. You know Steve Kerr wants to win. You know Steph wants to win. So what is going to happen here before February 6th? And what's the resolution for the Golden State Warriors? Do you want them to pick a lane? Do you want them to just say, you know what, we're all in on the Jonathan Kuminga experience? Or are you holding out hope for Jimmy Butler or another star to try to coax one more championship out of this core? Or is that even unrealistic? 888-957-9570. I don't know where Warrior fans are at right now. I think all Warrior fans are a little confused on what direction they want to see this front office go with.
You know, we're talking about all three of these teams right now, and I could make the argument, and you can say John Lynch or Buster Posey, but I know Buster's not technically the GM, but I'm just going to, he's the president. Like, I'm just,
right.
He's that guy.
He's the guy making the decision.
Exactly. Yeah. You think Mike Dunleavy has the hardest job right now amongst those three major teams in the Bay?
I do.
Just given the wow and star power of his guy, Stephen Curry, where he's at in his career right now?
I do, because when I look at John Lynch and the Niners, Lynch and Shanahan, by the way, they're coming back, in case anybody thought that.
Yeah, Adam Schefter reported, don't worry, yeah, and Adam Jed Schefter York said report. It.
They're coming back, so they're back.
I think it was our friend Tim Kawakami who originally got that scoop.
TK Show.
TK Odyssey. Show. Odyssey family member. So, John Lynch knows that, I feel good with Brock Purdy moving forward. If I sign him to a massive long-term deal, we can get to that a little bit later. I know he's coming off that Monday night game where he threw for a bunch of yards and some touchdowns, but he had the egregious interceptions. We get all that. But Brock Purdy's not my biggest issue at the 49ers. I know I have Fred Warner, who's going to get that ankle right in the offseason. Nick Bosa played well on Monday Night Football. Renardo Green and Diabito Lenore, some players. So I got some pieces here with the 49ers where I said, okay, I look at the schedule next season. We could be back at the top of the NFC West and get back into the playoff mix. You're right there playing nip and tuck football with the Detroit Lions, who are battling for a number one seed in your own conference. You're not far away.
No, and you just look at your own division, and that's where you have to look first and foremost. Like, is Stafford going to be back next year with the Rams? I don't know. What's he going to be like? Kyler Murray, people are already talking about trading him potentially. It's because of the Kyler Murray experience has just been nothing but a dud after signing him to that big deal. And then Geno Smith's not the guy. Are the Seahawks going to make a trade or something? Like, so I feel actually, in a weird way, we're going nuts around here. I feel the best about the Niners. 49ers quarterback situation than anyone else.
I feel, look, I think
and I get
Niners,
it. Matt Stafford's won a Super Bowl, but
it's a
old.
Disappointing season.
Yeah.
It's a down year to me. I think it's a one-off. I think the Niners will be back and be in a competitive football team next season. I truly do. And I look at the season, they haven't gotten blown out with the exception of those two East Coast games, Green Bay and Buffalo. And, you know, one of them when you're starting Brendan Allen, who's not even going to start this week. And the next week, Brock Purdy comes back at Buffalo to snow. It's going to be a tough game already. But I look at the way they've lost these games. Some tweaks. They need some tweaks. No doubt about it. And maybe Debo's gone too, because you look at the last lack of targets in the pass game, it kind of tells you that maybe they're moving on to Pearsall and Jennings and waiting for Brandon Ayuk to come back. Well, but I'm with you. John Lynch is in a great spot. Mike Dunleavy may be in the most difficult spot, because not only are you replacing Bob Myers, but you get tasked with how do you build around Steph and Draymond. That is the key, right? And I'm looking at a text right here from the 415. My resolution for the Warriors is J.K. needs to become the number one on this team. Curry's too old to be a number one and needs help. Definitely need some help, right? We definitely need to stabilize the lineups. We definitely need less roster turnover. We need to stay healthy or whatnot. But to your point, Spadone, I do believe Mike Dunleavy has the toughest task as a GM of an organization in this market to figure out where to go with the Warriors. Because let's just say, hypothetically, he blows it up and says, you know what, Draymond and Steph, we're going to move on. We're going to go with the youth movement. Boy, there's going to be a lot of blowback there.
Mm-hmm.
If he decides within the next month or the offseason to say, you know what, we're going to trade Kuminga, we're going to trade Wiggins, we're going to trade some of the youth to try to add for Steph and Dre, there's going to be blowback there. Because a lot of people think that, you know, Steph is not the same player, and he's not. He's 36 years old. He's still a damn good, effective player, Spadone, but he's not as effective as he was 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And you look at the game logs here, and it's getting tougher, especially with the bilateral knee tendonitis. So to your point, Spadone, you're right. Dunleavy has the toughest task out here in the Bay Area. It's not even close.
Yeah, and Buster Posey, he's just not Farhan, so I think he's already looked at public. Like, he's a made guy. So this year, I don't think he can do anything wrong. Like, the Giants cannot be great, or maybe, but they could just give him some time a little bit here. He's in a great spot. But yeah, I look at what Mike Dunleavy has on his plate right now. And to deal with an owner like Joe Lacob, and we love Joe Lacob because he demands excellence from his team. He demands excellence. He's going to put his money where his mouth is. He does everything that John Fisher with the Oakland A's and now just the Athletics didn't do. And that's why we love Joe Lacob, because we have had so much bad ownership in the Bay Area when it comes to these iconic brands, that once he came in here, once he put this team on his back financially and with the move and everything, he has shown us his willingness to win. Now, Bob Myers is gone. In his first season, I thought Mike Dunleavy did some good things. He had to make some hard decisions. Now, are we looking back right now, and I saw you send this to the thread, are we looking back at that Jordan Poole move saying,
well,
you know, Mike, in his first year, he kind of had to make sure the locker room was okay first and foremost. And in his first move, is he going to really not re-sign Draymond Green, a legend? That puts Mike in a very peculiar spot. Now, it would have been a ballsy move. It would have been something where it's like, wow, you know what? Mike Dunleavy, he's not here to play. There's a new sheriff in town, and he's not going to take a no for an answer. It's his show. But he didn't do that. He traded off Jordan Poole. I think it was the easier decision to make given the two. Mm-hmm. But was it the right decision looking back? I don't know. I don't know if it was the right decision then.
Well, I know a lot of people are going to say the Wizards aren't winning anything. They're not winners. And Jordan Poole's not winning games. And we get that. Does that make his stats not matter? They're a long way away, but he is having a career high season. Career high in points, assists, steals, and his 3-point percentage is at 40.7%.
You know the number that's actually not even any of those, that's the most, you know, I would be happiest with. It's the age number.
Yeah.
It's 25 years old.
25 years old.
Like, that's why you draft guys and want to keep them within your organization. That's why a lot of people are hesitant with the Jonathan Kuminga thing, because of the age. And like, that's a guy that can still build. Now, you've seen him for a few seasons, and I get it. The Jason Timps of the world who joined Steiny and Evan filling in for Goo early in the season of the Volume Network, and I think Jason does a hell of a job on his podcast.
We don't have it yet,
but I'll paraphrase basically what he was saying.
What was he saying?
He was saying his whole thing about trading, because he's on the team of trading Jonathan Kuminga, not that he doesn't think Kuminga's good, it's just that he doesn't think he's going to be one of the top five number ones in the West if you build around him. He doesn't believe he's going to be that guy, that number one championship player, which you're going to need in the West. Mm. Like, he's not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's not Ja Morant. He's not Luka Doncic. That's already top three right there. And if you get, he's not, you know, Anthony Davis. That's top four. So, like, you start getting there. Now, can he get there? That's going to be the question. I don't know, Bonte.
Look,
but
let's just talk about his play.
You got to plant your flag somewhere, right?
Yeah, well, just look at JK. And there's a graphic I sent to you guys a couple weeks ago where JK plays at least 30 minutes a game. And you compare that with Franz Wagner. And this was, what game was this entering? I think it was entering the Indiana game, maybe. I could be wrong. But it was a couple weeks ago. Where I had this graphic. Here
same draft class, obviously.
Same draft class. This is back on December 10th. So at that point, December 10th, JK had 36 games in which he played at least 30 minutes. 36 games. This is back on December 10th where he had played at least 30 minutes a game. 36 games where he played at least 30 minutes a game. And in those games, he averaged over 20, 5.5 rebounds, shot better than Franz Wagner. Franz Wagner shot 47% from the floor in these such situations. He had 193 games played in which he played at least 30. JK was shooting over 54% from the floor in those games. At 42 from three compared to Wagner's 33%. And we're seeing JK over the last three games here really come on. Crunch time situations where he's defending Kevin Durant. He's going out on the break. He's finishing over Plumlee. He's drawing a foul on KD. He hits the two game winning free throws. Athletically, you have nobody like him. And in the playoffs, Madoni, this is where I look at Kuminga. In the playoffs, especially the Western Conference. Yeah. Hell, even in the Eastern Conference. You need 3D guys, and you need wing defenders. Because of Tatum's, the SGA's, the Luka's, the Kyrie's. You need wing defenders. That's why Andrew Wiggins is so valuable on this team right now. Because he could defend at a high level on the perimeter. Well, JK's getting there. JK's closing in on that. And he's getting there. So you have to ask yourself, can I build? Can he may not be your number one, but is he a guy that you can win with? Can you win high-level games with JK? We just haven't had the opportunity to see it yet, so we don't really know.
I don't think we're going to get that opportunity. I just where this team is at right now, unless Mike Dunleavy makes a bold decision here. And what's that bold decision going to be? Is it moving off again? He trades Draymond Green. I think Robin San Bruno said that earlier. It's interesting. I could see a team that feels like a Draymond Green piece away. Like, there are that's a luxury piece for a champ, like a team that's right off the fringe of a championship.
What would the blowback be if you decided to make that move? And I don't think
there'd be that much blowback. I honestly don't. Given what Draymond, I get it, he's been a nice model citizen, quote unquote, this season. But given everything that's happened the last few seasons, I don't think there'd be as much blowback as you'd think if Mike Dunleavy decided to trade Draymond Green.
It's crazy because I don't know if you think Draymond Green's the issue.
No,
Draymond Green's played good basketball.
I don't, but I do think if you're looking at moving forward
and starting over a little bit. If you decide to do that,
that's signaling to me that you don't think this team is going to be contending for at least next season, probably. At least this season, but definitely next season.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, go ahead.
But he's a guy, too, that, like, we're just talking about Steph diminishing returns. Like, Draymond's getting old.
He is getting old.
And his position and the wear and tear on him, specifically, having to go against these big guys, the Anthony Davises of the world, year in and year out, those big bodies, Joel Embiid coming up here. Like, I'm more worried about his game aging here and maybe a rapid decline within this next year or two. So that's why I would make the argument, you know, the Bill Walsh theory,
right,
moving off from a player a year or two too soon rather than a year or two too late. That would be the argument there.
He's had a tough December when it comes to shooting, Draymond Green. 37% shooting, 32% from the three-point line, but you need him to remain aggressive to open up this offense. If he's aggressive, Saturday night against Phoenix, he had a hell of a game, 16-8-7. He was barking 6-9 from the floor, three threes. I thought he stabilized the game in the first half, where the game could have got away from the Golden State Warriors against Phoenix, and he scored all 16 in the first half. And then Cleveland goes 1-for-10. The size and length of Mobley and Allen got to him offensively. He's didn't have it in that game. Left the game for a little bit to check on an injury, but he's not shooting well right now. So where is Draymond Green at health-wise? And it is a concern given his age and the wear and tear and the miles that he has on those legs. And he mentioned it Saturday night where he said, look, I don't enjoy playing a five. But if we're winning, I enjoy winning. So I'll do what I got to do to help this team win. But playing the five, it's tough on him. And I get it. So what do you do there if he can't play the five for an extensive amount of time? You know, if you're asking him to play 20 minutes at the five, then you're asking for Draymond Green to get worn down and you're not going to have him for an extended period of time because he's going to wear out. So what do you do here? Because he does play the four next to TJD, but Kuminga plays a four. And Kuminga's balling right now. So there is a little dilemma here in that spot. Although, Spinoni, they have been playing well together down the stretch, Kuminga and Draymond and Wiggins. But it's him at the small ball five, and, which he's not a big fan of.
And I, whenever we bring in these conversations about trade talks, anything, because that's going to be the conversation leading up to this next month, the February 6th trade deadline, I'm just not moving Andrew Wiggins. I'm just not. Just given what his age and what he can bring on the floor, I know he's been having a tough stretch offensively, but defensively, he's been engaged. He's been locked in. I know what I'm getting from Andrew Wiggins for the most part, and I think he's just playing with his head much clearer, obviously, with the passing of his father. He doesn't have that weighing on him as much anymore. He just looks so much looser on the floor. But when we start discussing this, I'm not moving off a guy like that. If anything, again, it's Draymond Green. We're not saying they're going to. We're not saying any of that. I'm saying it would be a ballsy move, and I don't think he would get, Mike Dunleavy, that is, as much brushback and blowback that you might think.
I don't know. We could ask later.
The way these last few seasons have gone, though, Bonte, it's
but
the Draymond Green love fest is not what it once was.
But a lot of people ride for Draymond. A lot of people sided with Draymond when it came to the Jordan Poole incident. A lot of people sided with Draymond when it came to the Gobert and Nurkic situation. So you got to think, a lot of Warrior fans do love Draymond. There's a lot of people in this community who love Draymond and would be ticked off if they trade him.
What if he is part of a trade package that brings in a Zion Williamson?
I don't know. I'm not. Zion doesn't do it for me.
I think it would for a lot of fans. I think it would satisfy a name, and you could sell me on the future if he stays healthy that he could be a best player in the Western Conference.
See, that's a problem. That's the problem right there, though, with Zion. We're asking him to stay healthy.
Well, we have the best trainer in the league, right? Rick Celebrini.
The guy hasn't been healthy since he's been.
Well, we don't have a lot of,
I mean, this guy, look at his game log: 24 games, 61 games, 29 games, 76 games this season. I mean,
well, just get him on that San Francisco diet. He'll be fine.
Nah.
No, New Orleans diet's a little different. All right.
You trade a legend like that for a guy who can stay on the court?
No. I trade a legend for a potential future legend.
Well, also, you don't even know if he loves the game.
Well, can I, to that point, we had Nick Friedell and we were kind of asking about this. When we talk about like the culture in New Orleans, the winning culture in New Orleans or lack thereof, you come to the Warriors, I mean, it's a totally different attitude around here. It's a totally different, the standard of how you act is a lot different. And, as Spadoni was saying, you do have, Rick Celebrini, who he's, not a wizard or anything, but he is one of the better trainers in the league. This team has shown an ability to take guys who are injured, like Andrew Bogut or Klay Thompson. See the rehab job they did with him, get them back into playing shape. They've taken guys who have, quote unquote personality issues or whatever, like JaVale McGee or Nick Young, turned them into, useful pieces in a championship team. Is there something to be said about a Warrior culture kind of having a positive effect on Zion, or am I stretching that?
You can sell me on that, but Willie Green's no chump down in New Orleans who came from the Warriors.
Yeah.
He was an assistant coach with the Warriors and won some championships with the Warriors. So can you bring him out of New Orleans and he plays better? Sure. They all have the best trading in the world.
Has Zion played with a leader like a Steph Curry? Ever?
He's had some players down there.
Sure.
I mean, CJ McCollum's not a leader. Well, he's supposed
Brandon
to be.
Ingram's not a leader.
He's supposed to be. CJ McCollum played a lot with Portland. He's supposed
that
to be, right?
This podcast way
no,
too
I,
much,
I, yeah. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you on that. I hear you. Zion.
And
maybe Zion
way,
does need a trade of scenery. Maybe a change of scenery does help.
In this scenario, obviously, Kuminga would be the major prize. It'd be him and Draymond going to New Orleans.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
But you would retain Andrew Wiggins. You'd still have Steph, and you'd have Zion Williamson.
Can you make the argument that you see more potential for Kuminga than Zion?
Ooh, no. I saw Zion in a play-in game last year against the Lakers look like the best player on the floor with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I don't think I've ever seen that with Jonathan Kuminga.
JK may have been the best player on the floor Saturday with KD, Steph, and Draymond.
Oh, KD's a little long in the tooth there.
He's still balling, though.
It's true.
He's still balling.
But
you talk about the Lakers, and LeBron James was long in the tooth.
No, but
and
I'm
AD's
saying,
had his issues.
Anthony Davis, in that game, I just saw what he did, the physicality. Again,
Well, look at what J.K. did against Phoenix.
It's fine. I'm saying in their biggest games, and I've seen Zion Williamson be an absolute force and monster.
We just haven't seen J.K. get the opportunity in big games.
But that's the thing.
We haven't seen him get the opportunity in big games.
Will we, ever?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not on this team. Maybe not.
Maybe in New Orleans he would.
You know? Maybe not. Yeah.
By the way, we are thinking of all those in New Orleans as we're talking about the New Orleans right now. All the senseless tragedy of all those people losing their lives and the families affected and all the people that are still injured in the hospital. Just horrible. Horrible.
888-957-9570. We had the injury report coming up here. Christian at Fairfield, Oscar at Stockton. They have all their resolutions. And Film on Mike as well. Film on Mike is on the line as well. We'll get to everybody on the other side. Please hang tight. I want to get to all your calls before we get to Anthony Slater. But first, we need to do our first injury report of the new year.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Will Steph be on the floor or not tonight for the Golden State Warriors? He is listed as questionable for tonight's game against the Sixers with their right thumb sprain. Don't forget the Warriors have a back-to-back over the weekend against Memphis to Sacramento. So we'll see how the Warriors deal with that. Not much is known about the sprain or when Steph sustained the injury. We'll ask Anthony Slater about that at 8:30 here on the morning. Also, Draymond Green listed as probable to play, even though he's dealing with a lower back issue. So the Warriors beat up at 16-16. Again, we'll get to your calls. Warriors resolutions on the other side. Nobody has Niner resolutions. Got a Niner resolution? A Giants resolution? Would love to hear it. 888-957-9570 is the number. The injury report. Brought to you by a great friends at Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Christian, Oscar, Philbo, Mike, your Warrior resolutions. Can't wait to hear them. That's coming up with Spadoni and Bonte here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game.